This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Only those who wish to listen may do so.
That's a thinker.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
What is your sense of Rodgers' participation in the spring?
He's here, he's present. And when I say present, I mean he's fully engaged. And it's really cool just to watch him operate from play to play and in the way he works.
Earlier on the show, Chargers general manager Tom Telesco, Falcons general manager Terry Fontenot. Still to come, NBA on TNT analyst Kenny the Jet Smith. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air here on the Roku channel. We are live 12 to 3 Eastern every single day. And if you miss any of our show, there's the Rich Eisen Show collection, which is called that because it's a huge collection of our past and current shows. It's a video on demand service, part of our awesome relationship with Roku and the Roku channel. And we're free on all Samsung, on all Amazon Fire TVs, all Roku devices, select Samsung Smart TV. We are free on the Roku app, the RokuChannel.com. If you missed Tom Telesco, if you missed Terry Fontenot, the general managers of the Chargers and also the Falcons, we re-air once again at the end of this hour, channel 210. There's our podcast. You can listen to us every single day whenever you want through the Cumulus Podcast Network, where all podcasts are acquired. So you can check out today's show. You can check out yesterday's show. It's just a dynamite program. We're coming back from our weekend. Chris Mannix in studio all hour number two. Kevin Pollak telling stories from The Usual Suspects and A Few Good Men and Jack Nicholson and Casino stories involving Don Rickles and the new father, Robert De Niro.
Wow.
If you missed any of that, it's all available. There's our YouTube page, YouTube as well, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. If you're just joining us, a shocking conclusion to hour number two, where, and I apologize to all the fans who are fans of NBA teams that missed the playoffs or already bounced, that there are two guys water skiing behind the Sixers and Celtics yachts tonight who are afraid to watch Game 5. I'm almost embarrassed right now.
Why? Because your team has no shot?
No, it's got nothing. Why would you even? What do you mean my team has no shot? First of all, as you know, I'm a casual Knicks fan.
You've been all in this year.
No, I have been because Jalen Brunson has been terrific, and I enjoy watching him play. But honestly, like,
TJ and I are living and dying with each jumper, right, and the way this roller coaster, season and series is gone, it's like it's hard to watch.
You're living and dying, right? Living. So you're alive. Your team's alive. It is
when they do dumb things, I'm dying. A piece of me dies.
You know, the number of times that I sat in my living room watching Michigan play Ohio State and watching this thing go so poorly for me year after year after year, the number of times Susie would just walk in the room and see me prone on the floor, depressed, and then wanted to just leave me alone, and then came back 5 minutes later, and the score was 14 points worse than 5 minutes before. And I would get honey. The number of times that I would turn away from a game while leaving it on as it's just going and circling the drain. And I would then throw myself into the love of my children and just play games with them on the floor. I'm so happy now that Michigan has flipped the script in a way, even though those games give me intense feelings of anxiety.
You don't have to watch.
I'm alive, though. It is a number of times when Michigan was getting its ass kicked, and I'm like, man, Alabama fans don't go through this. Mm-hmm. Georgia fans don't go through this. I mean, there are anxious moments, but it's just like you don't have these moments where you're totally depressed and you're wondering when it's going to change. And man, instead of living and dying with the action, you're like, hey, do you want to play another game of war?
What else
with this deck of cards?
What else can I watch?
Hey, kiddo, do you want to play a little Monopoly? Huh? No, you're alive tonight. The alternative is you're eliminated. You don't make it. You're gone. Bucks fans, would they like to be involved tonight? Do you think? Yeah.
Do you think...
Not according to Giannis.
Hold on a minute.
Giannis doesn't think it was a disappointment
this
year.
Oh, please. You think the Memphis Grizzlies want to be part of tonight's action? What do you think?
Probably.
Don't you think?
Toilets!
That's where they are.
Speaking of toilets,
whether I watch tonight, the game's going to be played, and the result is going to be what the result is. I do not factor in the outcome.
And speaking of toilets, whose whole season went down the toilet. I had to go through this roller coaster of emotion. Now I got to do it again.
But this is why you have multiple teams, TJ. Because you got options. Most people listening to this don't have options.
No. That's true. No.
You have options because you have 19
for punishment,
teams. You have options. You're
don't
smart.
Say 19 teams.
You got 19
two.
Teams. He's got 19 teams.
19 teams.
The whole. They're not 19.
I'm
folks
just saying. I'm already bald. I have no hair to rip out. I could save myself a little anxiety tonight by not watching.
You're watching. You're not only watching. You're clearing the room. Get out of here, man. I got a game. You know what? You really want to talk about anxiety?
He's got to sign a
room. Cooper's got. His Little League playoffs begin tonight.
What time? We might come to that.
Come on by.
Come on down.
I think we're coming.
First pitch, right when there's tip-off between the Celtics and the Sixers.
And I'd rather...
I'm happy to...
And I don't have to watch.
I'm happy to counter-program your anxiety by having you come and watch mine.
Oh, you guys should see this guy at a game.
Come on.
Oh, no, I can already tell.
Come on, man. You make it sound like it's bad.
You know, Rich, Chris. I know, I can already tell.
Should we live stream Rich watching the game tonight?
Yeah,
no.
We should put a GoPro POV up on Rich.
No, we shouldn't.
It's Coop pitching? Instagram live, yep. Rich Eisen. Whole thing.
Excuse me, now you've opened the can.
Is Coop pitching?
No.
Okay.
Well, at least it's not scheduled. I don't know, we haven't found out yet, but I don't think so.
Okay.
But
does he have pitching eligibility?
I'm just trying to shift focus off of me.
You now must explain. I'm not like yelling at umps other parents or my child.
No, that's
child.
Absolutely not.
That's Susie's job.
Just, when you say stuff like that, and it's a youth sport that my son is playing and my child is playing. Okay.
I just mean Rich has the super nervous energy. Like I give him grief in the morning. He's a pacer on the telephone.
I do pace.
And he's
you
pacing
pace.
Watching Little League games.
I don't sit.
He doesn't sit.
I stand behind the home plate. I stand.
And then he goes around. He nervously eats peanuts.
Yeah, I do. I went through a whole bag of peanuts.
A whole bag of peanuts.
Well, he needs some sunflower seeds tonight.
Coop was pitching. I don't do sunflower seeds.
He was pitching that.
What?
Nobody likes peanuts.
Really?
You're a peanut guy? Yeah.
I de-shell and I eat.
Yeah.
And then I go in again.
You put them right on the ground?
Until the bag is done.
You put them right on the ground?
Then I go in again.
Garbage them.
So I'm happy to counter-program your anxiety by displaying mine. Please come by. As you know, my children... always appreciate Cage Brockman time. Always. Although last time he was, he heckling the home plate umpire?
He was the catcher. He's very into the catchers. Okay. He likes the mask and the equipment.
Ah,
yeah.
Very good.
Cage was heckling the catcher.
How was he heckling the catcher?
He was just like, hey, catcher.
That's what he's screaming.
He was literally yelling, hey, catcher.
Yeah, hey, catcher. That's what he's screaming.
Hey, catcher.
And some poor 12-year-old kid who's got on the tools.
He's
just like, what is that high-pitched voice of, what's going on?
Hey, catcher.
What's happening? Hey, catcher.
Seriously, would you really come to this game and not watch the Celtics Sixers game 5? Come on. I understand. Yeah. You're gonna be home. This is it.
Toss up. I don't know.
Literally, it's truly as tip-off happens. That's where I'll be. So
we're a dumb team, and I just can't keep watching it.
Okay. Enjoy it. Give me a break.
Do you think I enjoy watching these games?
You must.
Here's the deal, right? I was telling him.
You have to.
I was so tense watching that Sixers-Celtics last game, and then the Nuggets-Suns came on, and it was a great game. And the feeling I had watching that was just like, I love basketball. I'm just watching a game.
Correct.
I was not tense.
You're not emotionally invested.
And it was so much more fun to watch that game.
Yes, but imagine the alternative is that your team is so bad. You know what? It has been... I remember I used to root for the Rangers before, you know, Dolan beat that out of me too. And so I just remember... I remember one year, I forget what year it was. So I'm on SportsCenter and I wanted to call baseball games. I kept knocking on the door of everybody there saying, just let me do this. And, you know, I was in a position of being considered too valuable on SportsCenter to be let off the desk to do assignments I wanted. And I understood that, and I'm like, I'm totally appreciative of you saying that I can't be let out. But after a while, you know, the 150th 2 a.m. SportsCenter of the year isn't as important to me as maybe cutting my teeth on calling baseball games, which I always wanted to do as a kid.
Understand.
So the options I would have were few and far between. And one time it came down, Rich, we need you to call a baseball game if there's a game seven in a certain playoff series. I forget it involved the Avalanche. And that if there is a game seven, we will need to move this game to here and we'll air a game on ESPN2 that you're going to call. If the hockey results go a certain way. And I then turned into the hockey game and rooted for the result I needed. And I hadn't been emotionally invested in a hockey game in forever. Mm-hmm. And I missed it. You know, I missed being emotionally invested. I'm like, wow, this is great to be emotionally invested in a playoff hockey game that, by the way, went to overtime. And as you know, there's nothing more exhilarating than a Stanley Cup playoff game going to overtime.
Facts.
So I forgot about it. I just counsel you to. I understand that when the result, you know, put you through the ringer, you're just alive. You're alive, baby. You're alive. Go Jimmy V. You know, you're like your toes are in the grass. You're laughing. You're crying. That's a day. You know, like the alternative, you know, ask a Sacramento King fan. That's why they were lighting the beam like crazy after 17 years. Tell me, would I like to be emotionally invested in an NFL playoff game? It's been a while. Literally, my child has been born in bar mitzvahed. And actually, my youngest has been born and yet to be bar mitzvahed, and I haven't seen a Jets play.
Isn't that a bat mitzvah?
A playoff game. Bat mitzvah is for my daughter.
Oh, well, she's your youngest, is what I'm saying.
No, my youngest son.
Gotcha.
That's why I said bar mitzvah. It's okay. I'm sorry.
Everyone should
just keep up with my Judaism. So, you know, come on, guys.
This is not going to be fun tonight.
Yes, it is. So what's fun? Rocking chair experience that you're up by 10 and you don't relinquish a double-digit lead the entire time?
That's
what you're rooting for tonight?
Yeah, okay. Blowout. Blowout either way. I want a blowout win or blowout loss.
Are we getting into this argument again? Are we really getting into this argument?
Well,
in this
particular point, like if we're down 30,
you'd rather your team get blown out so you don't have to be emotionally invested and have that gut-wrenching loss that it takes for an entire 24-hour period to get over.
24?
Look, Rich, I know. I understand that your teams aren't ever in the playoffs, so you don't have these feelings.
This guy. This is what it's like.
Last place.
Plus, my baseball team stinks. I mean, what do you want?
What I want is for you to enjoy tonight's game.
I'm not enjoying it.
Enjoy tonight.
There's nothing enjoyable about this.
Awful. Nothing enjoyable tonight. Nothing.
I got to live and die on whether James Harden made a stop in Vegas before he got to Boston or not. That's what I got to live and die with tonight. And I got to worry about my center's knee, the ligament just snapping, which he hits the ground 85 times a game. And it's just
that?
Like,
did I say he's questionable tonight?
Oh, stop it. Come on.
He's got the Kawhi Leonard PTSD from game 3.
I do.
Where the guy plays two dynamite games in Phoenix to start his playoff series. And then all of a sudden,
we found out his meniscus was torn in game 1.
Kaiser Soze, he's gone.
That's what I'm saying. I've already gone through this emotion once. I don't really want to have to go through it again.
All right. I'm glad we got this out of our system because we have a bona fide, top-notch NBA television analyst and former NBA champion coming on this program.
Legit.
Who, by the way, will be no doubt psyched to be in the building tonight.
No doubt.
In Turner, in Atlanta. You got it out of your system?
Yeah, I'm good.
Let's take a break then. We come back. It's Kenny the Jet Smith right here on the Rich Eisen Show talking about Game 5s tonight in Boston and Denver. And, of course, his new book, Kenny Smith, coming up. Hey, folks. It's time for the NFL draft, which means for me, I need a good night's sleep. Because if I don't have one, I'm just not myself. You know the deal. You know exactly how important it is to have quality sleep. It's a game changer for all of us. So Sleep Number helps me. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's setting is 70. We both get a great night's sleep because we could adjust the firmness of our mattress on each side. Improve your quality sleep because Sleep Number learns how you sleep thanks to their smart beds and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger is the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. This guy, they're grinding it out right now on Turner. Two games last night, two games tonight. And to talk about all four of them and the nonstop action we're seeing night after night after night on the NBA playoffs on TNT and Turner with a new book, Talk of Champions, the stories of people who made me. Available today wherever you get your books. The Emmy-nominated analyst, well, they're all the analysts are nominated on Inside the NBA. The great Kenny Smith is back here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Jet? How you doing?
Well, I'm doing great, man. Everything's going well. Can't complain. Like you said, late nights, early mornings, but it's all good. It's NBA basketball. That is best.
Take me behind the scenes. What are you doing watching these games? What's it like? Are you sitting on the set? Is it the four of you sitting on your actual set? Do you go to another room, green room, something?
No. We have a green room in the back that becomes the kids' clubhouse.
Okay.
And everything and anything is talked about as the games are going on as well. So it's multiple TVs on. Sometimes Charles is a big hockey fan.
Oh.
So we got the hockey guys there, plus he's there. They're watching hockey and basketball simultaneously. And then on certain Tuesdays when the baseball games are going on, then it's a madhouse.
Is there like a assigned seating? Does Shaq have a seat that nobody sits in or Charles?
Oh,
or
no, there's assigned seating. Of course. There's a seat that I've sat in 21 years. Mm-hmm. Charles has sat in it for 18, and Shaq has sat in for 12 that no one and everyone knows never to sit in. And we always play around when someone new comes in. We're like, if one of us is missing, oh, yeah, you can sit there. And then the other person has to make that person move.
That's my follow-up. That was my last follow-up question on this before we get to the actual NBA action is, like, has there ever been a newbie? Like when, I guess, Gretzky came in or something like that, and he just sits down?
Any guest that comes in, you know, the seats are, like, super comfortable. So they're like, oh, I'm going to sit here. And if someone's sitting in Charles's seat, and I'm there already in my seat because we're right next to each other.
Yes.
He looks at me. He doesn't look at the person. he looks at me like it's my fault that I let him do it, and it's vice versa. So we play games with that. But yes, it is assigned seating. You cannot sit in certain seats in that seat.
But I understand that, Kenny, because, you know, if you know that's Charles's seat and Charles isn't in there, you could save him the trouble of being the a-hole. You're making him the a-hole. You could save him.
But isn't that the purpose of life?
That is true.
That is my purpose in life.
Is to make Charles the a-hole. I get it. Very good. Yeah.
100%.
That's why your show's so good for as long as it's been, Kenny. That's so great. All right. So let's jump in before we get to your book here about how in trouble are the defending champion Warriors now that they're down 3-1, Kenny?
Well, yeah. I mean, there's a 95% rate that they won't make it out of it, you know. So, you know, super trouble. However, I was blessed to be on one of those 5% teams mm-hmm. that came back from 3-1. the one thing that they could point to is game five is at home. So when game five is at home, our rationale, we're sitting on the team playing, and we go, well, they're not going to beat us in game five at home. It's like, no, they're not coming and beat us 4-1 at home. Oh, then all we have to do is win game six, because there's no way they're going to win a game seven on our court. So you have to have a delusion of grandeur.
Yes.
But at the same time, you do have two out of the three games at home, which is an advantage. That's why you play for that. And so it does move the needle slightly, where you may not be, you know, feeling the same way about game five as a team if you were going into Los Angeles mm-hmm. to play.
Yeah, and then obviously game three was a washout. Game four, they kind of had the Lakers where they wanted them until Lonnie Walker the fourth took over that game, and we'll hit that in a second. But lingering on the Warriors, as you know, you said you can point to the fact that they have two of three at home. And well, we're in the media, Kenny, so we point at things. and the finger at what? I mean, what is the missing part of the team that had the chip last year? What do you got for me on that with the Warriors? What's missing?
Well, I think they're just smaller this year, the Warriors, mm-hmm. than they have been in the past. So they don't have the same, I would say, the same ability to kind of just dominate physically at times. When Draymond was playing the four, why am I going blank? My Aussie center, when they first started out, when they first started their championship run, they had size.
Bogut?
And then, yes, exactly. And then they would just go small. But now they play small the whole game. So that is a difference. There's no transition from start to finish. And so what happens, they're in more close games. And when you're in more close games, it's like if you drive a car, you know, 30 hours, you know, if you drive a car 20 hours a day, you're going to have a fender bender. I mean, it's just it's natural. And so they have a lot of fender benders because they only play small when they're at their best now.
And now the Lakers just have – Could you say the Lakers have a deeper team? I don't know. I mean, obviously they've got a big three with Golden State and LeBron and Anthony Davis. The supporting cast for the Lakers last night, it was Lonnie Walker the fourth who came through. Do you have any sense of how deep the Lakers are for a deep run that they appear to be making?
I mean, their trade deadline was probably the best, you know, in basketball. You know, when you pick up who they picked up from Hachimura all the way down to, you know, D'Angelo Russell. And when they started making those moves, you know, it really propelled their roster. Their roster was pretty light. But Golden State, you know, roster is not bad. But we haven't seen the Jordan Poole that we've seen last year or the year before. Like, the guy's kind of been missing in action in terms of being able to create his own shot, create havoc for the defense, and give Clay and Steph, you know, rest on the offensive end. At times, you know, people are saying, well, do they need Clay Thompson last year? They're like, oh, I don't know if they need him. And that was a big draw. Now you're like, it's impossible to play basketball at Golden State without Clay Thompson.
Well, and then comes the issue with Poole before we move on here, Kenny, is the way that the season began with Draymond hitting him with a right cross, and you know, and how the Warriors may or may not truly have put that to bed. Is there a conversation you guys have off camera or even on camera a little bit about this? Do you think this is lingering? Do you guys talk about that?
Well, I think that we all like think that it could linger, but I think as a professional, you say it should not, because we're now 82 games later. You know, we're not in the same scenario that we were in before. And, you know, I would think that there still could be some animosity, but in fact, affecting his individual play to the level it has, I think, at times, I wouldn't think that that's the reason. Because as an individual, you're still doing your own workout. You're still doing, you know, your same drills that you do to get ready for a basketball game. And at times, he just doesn't seem ready for the moments that they're expecting to him to have. Like, he has a bigger role than he's had prior to that. And I think defenses have now he becomes a primary target on the scouting report. I think that has just as much to do to it with it than just I got in a fight with a teammate publicly.
Emmy-nominated Kenny Smith, an author of Talk of Champions, Stories of the People Who Made Me, which is available today wherever you get your books, calling into the Rich Eisen Show. A few minutes left with him. If you put your marker on any of the remaining eight teams, obviously it would be tough to put your marker on the teams down 3-1 in the Warriors and the Knicks, but you got two other series tied at 2 apiece. Who do you put your marker on right now to win it all, Kenny?
Well, I still think that, you know, the Denver Nuggets are still in the mix of everything. You know, to me, they from top to bottom, when you watch them play, they have every piece in every game. They're a team that when you look at them, you go, what holes do they have? And you go, do they have a great center? Yeah. Do they have a great point guard? Do they have great bench? Do they have good coaching? They have everything that would mark a champion. They just have to deliver now, because I think they are the best team in basketball.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We're taking bets right now, Kenny. Are you at an ATM or filling your car with gas? What are you doing right now? We're talking.
The bet right now is I was stopping to fill my car with gas, and I said no.
Hmm.
And I waited.
Okay.
Because I had to stop, and I was like, man, I'll stop and drive and see. And stop on the side because I got to talk to my man, Rich.
Okay, it's okay.
I'm never going to talk and drive.
Well, you're going to go high octane, right? The highest octane possible.
No, this is a rental car, brother.
But come on, Kenny. You're putting it on the Turner dime. What does it matter? What do you care?
Oh, baby, it still gets the cheap gas, man. You never pull a rental car. You don't treat a rental car like you treat yours.
Okay. All right. I just understand. I just wanted to get this whole thing settled. Kenny Smith here on the Rich Eisen Show. Why'd you write the book, Talk of Champions, The Stories of the People Who Made Me, Kenny?
Well, for me, it was more about, like, it happened actually after all the social unrest was happening that we hadn't seen, at least in my lifetime, the way it was when George Floyd, and then I walked off the set. I don't know if you remember that. I said, I'm going to join this march and walk off the set of the show. A week later, a literary arranger, she calls me and she goes, Kenny, you have a book. I always thought I could write an article about my life, but not a book. And then she said, why do you think that? She said, why did you walk off? I said, I really walked off because of all of the people that make. And there it was. I was like, it wasn't one moment. It was Dean Smith talks. It was Bill Russell. It was Shaq. It was Michael Jordan. All of the people that, so I was like, wow, there's other things about them that I look and take into my daily life that if I knew at 21 all the things that were going on, man, I should just share this information, because I think when you read it, you'll feel better about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because you'll start to understand why you do things and why did that work. Because I, you know, honestly, Rich, I used to take for granted the people around me, meaning I thought everyone had Bill Russell around them, or Dean Smith, or Michael Jordan, or Shaq's, or Charles. I thought that was commonplace in business. You know, one of my good friends in college was David Kohler from the Kohler family, you know, the largest plumbing company in the world. He slept on my couch for summer school. Guy O'Seri, who manages Sting and Madonna and the biggest names in business, slept on my couch for like 45 days. I thought this was normal to have people like that around you. And then I realized that everybody I knew had a book written about them. I was like, they're not normal. And I need to tell the stories of what I see that makes them great and stories of champions.
Well, and again, I don't want you to give away too much of the book here in the few minutes we have left. So of all the names that you just mentioned, I'll pull on the Bill Russell string. You got a story you want to tell about Russell, what you learned from him, where you met him, anything about that?
Well, the biggest thing I learned from him, it was in a casual moment. You know, he drafted me, and he was my coach, my first coach. And so we're sitting on the plane, and he's looking at, like, a sheet with all of these European players that they possibly could draft.
Mm-hmm.
So my job, he said, I always had to sit next to him every plane ride and every bus ride because I was a rookie. So I'm looking at the notes, and he's got these guys from Yugoslavia and everywhere. I was like, Coach, you're telling me there's no guy in Alabama that's just as good? Like, he's going to fly all the way over there? And he looked at it, he stopped, he said, Kenny, as an African-American, you can never not want inclusion. And so he took a moment that was so jokingly half-serious about basketball and taught me a life lesson that I move daily by, like inclusion and how to include everyone, even when I'm already included. That is the difference, you know, that when you're included, the test is, can you include someone else? That isn't. That's what the test is. And so for me, you know, there's millions of stories like that with Bill and I. When you read the book, you'll see some more.
So, again, I don't know if it's like the NFL where you're on draft day and you get a phone call and it's the coach or the GM or who the owner of the team saying, welcome to the team. Did you get a call from Bill Russell on draft day? Is that what you're saying, Kenny?
Yeah, he was the general manager and president of the and the coach of the team at the time. And so, yeah, he's like, hey, Kenny, we're drafting you. And which was interesting is because they never brought me in for an interview. So I was like, oh, that Sacramento's not going to draft me. And so he calls me and he's like, well, Kenny, we drafted you. I said, well, I was surprised because you guys didn't bring me in. He said, that's why we didn't bring you in. We didn't want anyone to take you out of that. Yeah. I was like, okay.
So, Bill, I mean, that had to be, and again, I know you were around Dean Smith and you had a lot going on and you know, you were around big time basketball, but for a kid, you know, from Queens to look down at the phone or obviously at the time there's no call waiting, you pick up the phone and
No, we didn't know what was
Yeah,
there.
I know, right? So,
we didn't grow up in that era.
I just caught myself. I could have been a busy signal, right?
No question. But I was, you know, in awe for sure. I mean, we both were old enough to understand who Bill Russell was. Not even from a basketball standpoint, but from a social justice, from a cultural standpoint, we understand who he was. And to have him call you and be the person who drafts you into the NBA, and then, you know, even years later, which I wrote in the book, you know, 20 years later, when he had his statue put up in front of the Boston Garden, he called me again and asked me to MC it.
Come on.
I mean, could you imagine?
No.
That call.
No.
He's like, Kenny, I want you to do it. I want you to MC it, you know, when you come out. And so I always had him in such high regard over the years, and we talked, but it just assured me that he felt a way about me as well. You know, I still keep in touch with his wife to this day. Mm-hmm. You know, I talked to her last week. You know, he is a figure that has always been influential in my life.
That's like getting a call from the president of the United States, Kenny.
It's better for a basketball player. It's better.
Well, tell the gang and everybody there at Turner, I said hi. Say hi to Ernie, Shaq, Charles, the rest of the crew there. Love watching you. I will be watching tonight. Couple game fives. That's all you got. I mean, my gosh, so much on the line tonight. You got any quick thoughts on that before I say goodbye to you here on this Tuesday?
Game five is the pivotal. Does the momentum shifters.
Yep.
But I always thought the series start only when a team is faced with elimination. That's how we felt in Houston, which is a little delusional, but that's how you got to be. So game five, it's still got more left.
In Boston and in Denver. Take care, Kenny. Congrats on the
Thanks
book.
A lot.
Maybe we'll see you at the Emmys in a couple Mondays. Thanks, Kenny.
Oh, appreciate that, brother.
You see you soon. That's Kenny Smith inside the NBA, NBA on TNT. But talk of champions, the stories of the people who made me, available today wherever you get your books. Do you agree with not putting high-octane gas in rent-a-car?
Yeah. Not my car.
But it doesn't matter, right? I guess it's money out of your pocket.
Yeah, you got to pay.
But you're gonna expense it. What about you, Mike?
It all depends on who's paying for it.
Well,
I'm one of those guys.
Turner's paying for it. Let's say Turner's paying for it. Ted Turner, he's paying for it.
It is what it is.
Ted Turner,
whatever's there, it's in. If it's 92, it's 92. I kind of feel like I'd feel bad for the person that buys the car used. That you didn't take care of the car, but at the same time, you're buying a used rental car. You're getting what you get.
TJ?
I mean, I'm probably renting a Chevy Volt, so I ain't putting.
Oh, you got, oh, so you're using the your electric?
Nah, I'm
just guys know what I do.
Yeah, I'm not putting the high end gas in whatever car. No,
I step it up and rent it.
Yeah, he's renting like a Lambo or something.
Yeah,
Rich.
It's you're a guy. So I got to put 92 in.
What do you mean you're renting? Are you? What do
I
you
mean, Rich,
you
know
up?
What I drove to the Super Bowl. I don't. It's like I rent. If I rent a car, it's got to be like. I got to be in
his VIP.
Nice car.
Didn't you read his?
No, stop.
Instagram post.
Excuse me.
Stop.
Spoken like a man with no children.
I have no children. I'm getting
that's
rid of
what
the
he
boat.
Said.
Eventually, I'm gonna yeah, once no. I retire.
But you're gonna get what?
I'm gonna get rid of the boat when I retire. But I'm just gonna be out there.
But isn't it the point to have?
No.
What?
No, I'm in a bigger boat when I retire.
Oh god. Oh god. Okay.
So you're not really
be
getting rid of
I'm
a
not,
boat.
I'm not gonna be land based once I retire. We'll talk about that another time. I'm getting like
I'm not gonna be land based.
I want to be able to move. I do not. I'm buying a big catamaran, like a 60-foot catamaran, yeah. 4 bedrooms, 3 bathrooms.
Yeah.
You ain't gonna see me again. Bye. See you.
The thing is, you're not gonna ever stop working.
That's the problem. So I'll have this boat forever now.
You're addicted to working.
Great planning.
It's PPP.
This is great planning.
In my case.
Okay.
My whole life.
Stugatz.
Exactly. Stugatz.
We'll take a break and preview tonight's game fives for you. And
do we have to?
Yeah. Yeah, we do. That's coming up on the Rich Eisen Show.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Man, oh, man. So it doesn't look like Chris Paul's going to play tonight, right?
That's why the odds are moving a little bit.
I don't know. Moving what? Like, why would that affect anything? Landry Shamet only lit up the sky.
Yeah,
so what else?
That ain't going to happen.
Oh, really?
Again.
The guy's got a hell of an outside shot.
Yeah, I mean.
Lonnie Walker the IV, oh, that won't happen again, right? Until
it
does.
Just goes to show you, these guys sitting on the bench not getting any runs.
They
sometimes
are ready.
You got to give them.
They are ready.
Give them their shot. They're professionals.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And you said earlier about me not liking the Laker thing, which you're more than, yeah, you're right. But I got to admit, when I see a guy like that, who you know you worked hard, come off the bench and play like that, as a basketball fan, you do kind of love to see someone like Lonnie and Landry Shamet.
And in the same way of it. In the same way of waiting a very long time for your shot, there's the King of England now. Did you like that switch?
Hey, you got there. You did wait a really long time. I mean, he's 76.
He's waited a long time.
That's
for his shot at the title.
Yeah.
And
top
the championship crown. And so we were going to do this segment yesterday, but Kevin Pollak told too many great stories. So my phone line, the Twitter accounts, whenever I popped on over the weekend, I don't understand the affixation with the royal family, with all due respect to anybody
who
this
means
a lot
to.
It's the last pomp and circumstance in the world. I actually said
this on the weekend. No power.
But exactly. They're like, we always say, it's like you're like the Queen of England.
Right.
Rest in peace.
And there he is with the crown, you know, the crown jewels.
I would love to do that. I would do this.
Is that the holy hand grenade of Antioch?
I would love to be the king. It'd be fun.
No kidding. You'd like to be the King of England?
Yeah.
Of course you would.
You got nothing. But what is he doing?
That'd be incredible if Mike Del Tufa becomes. What are you? What line are you in? Like, what's more likely? He becomes the King of England or the owner of the Green Bay Packers with his one
He technically is the owner of the Packers.
Yeah, I mean, I already am. So,
yeah, but he is at least like in the mix. He's on a list for the Packers.
Who's closer to being in the lineage in the line of succession? Him or Landry Shamet? The guys who are waiting a long time for their shot. So we decided, you know what? And we did this before. We came up with the idea for this, you know, before Lonnie Walker the IV went off.
True that.
And we were inspired by Landry Shamet and the King of England waiting a long time for their shot, making their shots, right? So we have decided to come up with three... sports figures.
Yep.
Each one of us, you, TJ, and you, Chris, have come up with one. I've come up with one as well, of who we're going to coronate. And it's been their long time waiting that they're going to get crowned.
If you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
That's straight from this weekend's ceremonies, I believe.
Oh, Denny Green was
strange. There's no English accent. There's no British accent there. So give me music.
If you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
Give me. There you go. Thank you.
Had to do me.
Who goes first here?
I'm going first.
I gotta see
where you're gonna take
you
this.
Go first.
Oh, this is easy. This guy's been waiting a long time. He's got one before, but it's been a while, long while. Everybody thinks he's got no show. Oh, yeah.
Well, if he's already got one.
That's so predictable.
Well, why is it predictable?
He's already been crowned.
So what? He's been... So what? Sir Aaron of Rodgers is going to be coronated and bring the Jets to the throne, to the seat of power in the National Football League. And he is going to lead them to the promised land. Been waiting, you know, in football years as long as Prince Charles waited to become king.
I had a bad experience on this ride once before.
Thank you very much. He did not. He has won before, and he's about to be coronated once again. I believe Aaron Rodgers will wear the crown.
If you want to crown him, then crown their ass.
Thank you very much.
Wow.
Chris, who do you have?
Okay. Now... This guy, the All-American, I'm going baseball, All-American.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you over whatever the
this
hell
is
he's
so
playing.
Loud.
So loud.
I'm sorry. My God.
I'm sorry, I'm bringing
Jeez.
It
Jeez.
He's the modern-day Mickey Mantle.
Oh, boy.
And he's been the target of, you know, some of my slings and arrows in the past.
In the castle.
All of his.
You were storming the castle.
His 12 career postseason at-bats. But you know what? I think this is the year Mike Trout wins a playoff series.
I'm talking about being crowned. Here.
He's going to be crowned.
Triple crowned?
To win a playoff series.
If you want to crown him, then crown their ass.
So crown him what? To get out of the first round of the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, that would be a big accomplishment.
I went out on a limb. I said,
that would be a big accomplishment.
What the hell?
You guys already won.
That's like giving Prince Charles with a house in the countryside with the corgis.
He's gonna get that. Mike Trout's gonna get that little egg.
He's gonna get Balmoral.
A little egg.
A little
golden baseball.
I'm saying he's going. Aaron's going to the Buckingham Palace, man.
Sorry, folks.
All right, TJ. What do you got over there?
Well, I'll just say this: King of Kings. And Lord of Lords, bless we beseech.
What is happening?
Thee this crown.
Oh my God.
And so sanctify thy servant, James Harden, upon whose head this day thou dost place. James Harden, I need to see the beard get crowned, all right? His career, Chris, as you know, MVP scoring titles, but he's always been held back by that. Theory, that thought that he can't get it done when it counts. I need James Harden this year to prove all thy naysayers wrong.
I don't need
and
that.
Lead his team to a championship upon which a crown shall be placed upon
if you want to crown him, then crown their ass.
His head.
Now, like a strip club
See,
term?
He didn't say they're getting out of the second round.
What do you mean? That would be a big accomplishment for my guy.
You went ahead and gave him the whole enchilada.
Yes.
As I did as well. He's going as far as Trout's going to win a playoff series.
Indeed.
Okay.
Indeed, sir.
You think we need one more?
Oh.
All right, we'll get one.
You have one?
Oh. No. Well, no. You know, I do have one more. I'm just going to say this really quick.
Are you doing one per team that you like?
I'm going to say this real quick. There is another man who I've known for many years. He came into the public's eye back in 1996. Okay, and he was part of a legendary duo that brought forth news and entertainment for the masses. And yet year after year after year, this man has been denied his rightful place at the table. So I say this on this day, may Sir Richard Seth Eisen of Long Island
Staten.
Be crowned
Staten Island.
Whatever. Staten.
Staten Long, whatever.
Whatever.
Be crowned with an Emmy win. And have that crown placed upon his beautiful dome.
Thank you.
Rich, I want to see you get your crown.
Thank you very
this
much.
This year, yes.
Great.
I appreciate your sentiments. Thank you.
Yes. Staten Island, Long Island, whatever.
It's whatever it takes. Some island.
Manhattan. They're not the same, but it's fine.
Good stuff.
Well, Chris will say that Long Island is actually part of Manhattan. That's what he would say.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
That's my response to that segment.
But according to you, you know, I'm not winning. You know, if I'm getting the Mike Trout treatment from this segment, I'm not winning the Emmy. I'm just getting out of the first hour of the ceremony.
I think for us to be sitting there and make it out of the first hour, we all win.
Would be,
you know what I mean?
Mitch Eisen is awesome, baby, with a capital A.
And here again, it was this very strange part of the coronation. Over the weekend, did you watch the coronation? Any part of the coronation?
No, I wasn't.
It was very strange when they made this announcement that Matt Leinart would be next, and I'm like, wait a minute, he's not in the line of succession, is he? You know,
I didn't know Mark Dalton had a position that high in the royal family.
If you want to crown him, then crown their ass.
And then they said Matt Leinart will be next. It's very strange because I don't think he's next. It's William, right?
William is next. Yeah, yeah.
And then hell has to freeze over, and then Harry, right? Is that the way it works? No, am I up on my royals?
No, William's son.
Matt Leinart will be in the person's room probably about 5 minutes away.
Yeah, that's very strange that he's 5 minutes away, too. It's like, wait a minute. Charles has been waiting 76 years. You're giving him 5 minutes? Very strange part of the coronation.
Prince George is next.
Ah.
After. That's William's oldest son, yeah.
Got it.
Thank you. Be crowned with your gracious favor.
Thank you. By the way, great job writing it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I appreciate that. So I want to thank...
TJ on a side note, Long Island's not part of New York either.
I want to thank Terry Fontenot. I'm going in order of people who are excited to be on the program.
Terry Fontenot was really excited.
Terry Fontenot was excited.
He had questions to start.
And then there's Kenny the Jet Smith, who is multitasking.
Yeah, he's trying to pump gas. Promoting
his book, calling the program, and pumping gas.
Yep.
And then Tom Telesco, who gave us tons of information, and then I lingered too long.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
And then that's why I forced him to say that after 22 minutes of talk. And I want to thank the AT&T operator who tried her hardest to get our phone lines back on during this.
Are we going
to
be back tomorrow?
Of course we are.
No, the phone line.
I don't know. Okay. Depends on who's been crowned.